Well, hello and welcome to an extra special episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is our horror special 2024. This is where we just discuss horror films from brand new out in the theaters now to I think we discussed one from the 60s and earlier this episode. This is getting to be the time of year where we start doing specials. You know, at the end of the year, we'll have our best of and worst of. Come January, February, we'll do our Oscar picks. So strap in and get ready for some specials.
Well,
Be
what
warned, though.
jackass would make us do specials? I'm going to talk to the producer.
You do that.
I'm not upset. That Owen producer guy, I'm upset with.
Okay.
Too
I'll
many
make sure he
shows.
gets the notes.
Because, I mean, I'm going to have to email him again and go, what's up with all the specials? Like, who designs these stupid specials?
Especially at the end of the year when all the Oscar bait movies come out that we
I
have to
know, like.
discuss.
Don't they know I have things to do? Like, I don't know, watch all my stuff I pick up at garage sales that I haven't touched in a few months because I've been busy.
Damn it, how can I see Anora when I have to discuss Anora being on a list?
Exactly. I don't know.
All right, and just as a warning, we will be spoiling these movies.
Ah, real. I don't want to be here now.
Well, especially the first film we will be discussing. I personally do not know how I can get into a discussion about this movie without spoiling it. So if you have any desire to see any of the movies we're going to discuss, please skip ahead a few minutes. Come back and listen after we after you have seen the movie, because there will be spoilers, I promise you that. And I just realized I forgot to introduce myself. I am Doug, and I am here with Simon, the Grand High Poobah, the founder, the big boss man of Extra Features.
I'm not the producer, though. That's Owen. Just so everybody
Okay.
knows, I'm not the producer. Okay, I brought a horror story for you tonight.
Oh, good.
I was at a party on the weekend, so this kind of works out perfectly for this story. So a friend of mine and his kids went to see Terrifier 3.
Okay.
The mom went too. Now I know this lady. Terrifier 3 would not be something I would see her at. Maybe a Stevie Wonder concert, maybe, a
Maybe.
nice romantic comedy, not Terrifier 3. So I was talking, her husband was telling me this. And so she asked, oh, what's the movie about? He's like, it's like Halloween. Just started laughing.
Okay.
I'm like, it's nothing like Halloween. So I asked her, how is Terrifier 3? She goes, interesting. That's all I got. It's the only
Okay.
Halloween story I have this year. But if you knew this woman, you'd be like, not a chance she has ever seen a Terrifier movie, would ever see a Terrifier movie. Yours
Okay.
truly doesn't watch the Terrifier franchise because I find it just gore for gore's sake.
I am the same way. I watched half of the first Terrifier movie on
Me
Netflix a
too,
while,
and turned it off.
and I was like, it that there's no real story here. There's nothing to draw me in. But we're not discussing Terrifier here. We are not. That's not one of our
Well, I
movies.
didn't watch it, so we
Me
couldn't
neither.
discuss it. That producer didn't put it on the list.
All right. Well, our first movie tonight will be Strange Darlings, directed by J.T. Mulner, starring Kyle Gallner and Willa Fitzgerald. And I guess with a special shout out to Ed Begley Jr. and Barbara Hershey for their scene in this movie. Okay. Let me be the first to spoil this for you because I cannot discuss this movie without spoiling it. So 3, 2, 1. The twist in the movie did not work for me at all. Possibly because I have seen so many movies over my life, I kind of picked up right away on the hints that they were giving. The opening monologue about the serial killer being captured, and this was, they very consciously did not use pronouns. So I knew they were trying to hide the fact that it was Willa Fitzgerald who is, in fact, the serial killer in this movie. When that was actually shown to be the case, it was not a big shock for me. I think this movie works pretty much because of the power of the acting in this movie. I think Kyle Gallner and Willa Fitzgerald were fantastic in their roles. I just think that the twist doesn't really work. I'm not sure how I would feel if this movie was told in chronological order, where there was no twist and it was just a story told through the acting. I think it relies too heavily on the twist here. I keep hearing how brilliant this movie is because of the twist. I just personally did not see it myself. I think the strengths of this movie are the acting, and the writing wasn't bad, but I think the telling it out of order kind of also telegraphs the twist. Because if we're just dealing with these two characters, what else could the twist be? Honestly, I gave this like a 2.5, maybe 3 out of 5 here.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Now, you all want my opinion, I know, because I'm different than Doug. I don't
Yes.
sit there and analyze movies ahead of time and worry about pronouns because I don't care. I just like to enjoy a good film. So, what's Doug, as usual, you know, I do not watch trailers or
I
read
know.
synopsis. So, how confused do you think I was in this film?
I think you might have been confused as, but here's the thing. I know you've also seen many, many movies.
I have.
So I think when you saw that they were telling it out of order, that they were trying to hide the identity of the killer, and that you would have sussed out because you're not a dumb guy, you would
Oh,
have
yes, I am.
figured out that Kyle Gallner is not the killer.
Well, that was
He
pretty
is the
easy for me. I
victim.
wasn't worried
Yeah.
about him. What threw me off was the, I was like, what? Are we going out of order? Okay, I got it now. It took me a couple minutes going, we're out of order. What? What am I watching? Oh, not more people are going to die, only one person. And then I started figuring it out. But I will say it took me a good t 5 minutes to figure out the flashback, what was going on. I'm like, okay, I got it now. I'm starting to understand where they're going.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ruin something even bigger than Doug ruined. The
Ooh.
first scene they shot in the movie, first scene, was the scene in the house in
Okay.
the, where somebody's hiding.
The Ed Begley Jr. house.
Yes, that was
Okay.
the first scene in the movie in that house. So I'm just letting people know that was the first scene they shot. So I thought that was interesting. So they shot it out of order too.
I think most movies are shot out of order, though, so that doesn't.
I know, but that's a pretty big scene to start with.
True, true.
Day one. I thought this film was great. I had a fun time watching it. Is it going to blow your socks off? No. But it's fun to watch. It's the kind of movie I got into. I enjoyed the acting. I like the pacing a lot in this film. I find if you were not looking for pronouns, you probably might enjoy it a little bit more than Doug and just let the movie roll out for you. My issue is I had no clue how the movie was going to end. The ending was my most interesting thing I was waiting for in this film.
But
I
they
liked everything
told you.
about it. What?
They did tell you how it was going to end.
They did, but I wasn't sure how we got there.
Okay, that's fair.
And I was more worried about how we got there. I was like, oh, didn't see that coming. And
Okay.
I liked that. I liked that I got surprised at the end, even though I had figured it out like you had. I liked the surprise ending. I did
Okay.
not see that coming. Did I know? Maybe I don't. Maybe I see, unlike you, I don't listen to pronouns for half the time. I'm usually at the beginning waking up because it's probably like 11:30 at night and I start the movie then.
See, I wasn't, I don't actively search for pronouns, but I knew that there was a twist in this movie.
How'd you know that though?
Through the marketing, people.
There's my say. You do what I do, going cold. You have no idea what's going on.
It's so hard to do nowadays, though.
Okay, you're right. I was reading. Actually, I stopped reading this website because of the Screen Rant.
Okay.
Write their headline, and Agatha All Along told me something. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? This thing came out yesterday. Right in the headline. I'm okay, delete. I'm deleting your site. I won't go there anymore. Because they ruined the
Okay.
film right on the first. I'm like, this thing came out yesterday. You didn't even bury it in an article. It was right on the headline. Joe Hill is blank. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? I haven't even watched it yet. And you have it on a headline. Okay, I just deleted Screen Rant. Said I'm never reading this site again.
That's
I
how you
was
get
so
clicks
pissed.
nowadays.
No, let me help you. I left.
Okay.
So, avoiding marketing, you're saying it's hard. I don't think it's hard. You just don't read about it.
Okay.
Do what I do. On Friday, I look what's coming out. I have a site that tells me just the films are what's coming out. And that's the only thing I read.
Okay.
And I will click to find out who's in them. But that's it. So let's go back to this film. I think it works. I think they have a very low budget. It's fun. I think it gives me what I want from this kind of film. I'm happy at the end. I had a good time. I wouldn't watch it again, but I was happy is what I'm trying to say. I
Okay.
mean, there's nothing really in depth in this film. There's nothing really to watch twice. It's a one and done, I think. It's kind of
Yes.
enjoyable. I gave it a three. I
Okay.
had a good time. I enjoyed it. I moved on. And that's all I got to say. I mean, I wish I could give you more, but is there more to discuss here? I don't think so.
Not re well, there is the identity of the cinematographer of this movie.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Actor Giovanni Ribisi shot this movie.
Really?
He was the cinematographer on this film. Yes.
Good work, Giovanni. I like the shooting.
Apparently, he has been a big fan of cameras throughout his entire career. He's a big collector of cameras and lenses. And when he read this script, he auditioned himself to the director as the cinematographer for this film.
Good for him then. I had no
So yeah.
idea. I mean, he doesn't act much nowadays. You see him here and there occasionally.
Yeah, he was in that Kevin Costner Western this year, Horizon. So he's still around
Let's hope
acting.
number two doesn't come out.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
It might have an appearance coming up, and then the producer sends me a list.
Fair enough.
You might find it on there. I'm just a little sneak peek.
Well, I'll give you a sneak peek. One of the movies we discussed today will be on one of my lists at the end of the year as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't be on the
No, I'm guessing not. So are you ready to move on to Salem's Lot?
Yes.
Directed by Gary Dauberman, starring Lewis Pullman, Mackenzie Lee, Jordan Preston Carter, Alfre Woodard, and Bill Camp. So since I had my rant about Strange Darlings, I'll let you start off here with Salem's Lot.
I did watch this,
Okay.
and I mean, I did see the original, and I know I'm going to be in trouble. I didn't love it, but again, you're going into a Stephen. I'm not a huge Stephen King fan. I like the big stuff, and that's about it. And I've always been told this is a big one, so I'm sitting there, and these are my thoughts early on. Oh, more kids. Am I watching it again? This feels like it. It's got kids in it. Wow, this kid's really smart. How'd he figure out all the vampire stuff? Nobody ever tells me that. Guess he's reading some Marvel Blade comics. Let's move along. And I'm just sitting there going, give me something to hold on to. Nothing. I just felt we go to place A, place B, C. It just moves. I don't know anything about Bill Pullman's son. I don't care about the Susan's chick. She seems like a slut to me and just likes to bang people, and that's okay. She's happy. I'm fine with that. I'm not judging her. I just don't know anything about her other than she likes to have sex. That's about all I know about her. And then when her mom randomly shows up, becomes familiar, I'm like, where did that come from? Did I miss a scene again? And
Possibly.
I think the only scene I did like was when the kids are flying at Mike or Mark is Treehouse. I thought that scene was great.
Yes.
Other than that, I thought this film was boring as crap. I mean, they're making up this big thing about Barlow and takes about what, 2 seconds?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm confused. It felt like a TV movie to me. And they just didn't
Okay.
have enough money or time to make it look good and explain things to me. Because I was like, okay, now these two guys are hanging out together. Okay, like, did they speak to each other? Like, what is going on in this film? There must be pages of stuff I missed that I needed to know. I did read the first cut, so that 3 hour cut. I would like that cut to explain to me some things. Like, why is he back in this town, the author? He just felt like coming back for a visit. Like, where does this kid learn to vampire? Why the cop, the sheriff just takes off? Like, I thought was weird. And then even with Alfred Woodard, who figures out how to cure vampires? Help me out here, Doug. Why am I so confused?
Okay, well, why you're so confused is because the first two times this novel was adapted, it was TV miniseries. So it wasn't just a 2 hour movie, it was 4 hours, it was 6 hours, whatever. And they were able to adapt more of the novel. So a lot of the questions that you have were answered in the previous
Great.
adaptations or in the book. This time it just feels they didn't have the time to do that. So it for this movie, it felt very rushed. The story, like you said, also they just automatically believe it's vampires. Why this school teacher would go to the writer in town, never explained here. It's just, it feels rushed because it is. And that's to the detriment of the story here. I think I love the idea. I love some of the imagery in this movie. At the end, when Lewis Pullman and Alfre Woodard are in the church, and you look outside and it's all foggy, and you see the vampires standing in the street. I like the imagery there. But there's not much else to that imagery. I like the imagery when the grave digger, not the grave digger, the two boys who get killed, when their mom turns into a vampire in front of Alfre Woodard and she's lying there with the shroud over her and she sits up. That imagery was amazing. It looked really cool. It didn't go anywhere, though. The best character in this movie was the young boy. We should have just followed him throughout the entire movie. He's the one who actually he killed the initial familiar. He's the one who figured out it was Barlow all along. They should have just followed him,
Yeah.
and the movie would have been even shorter. You could have had an hour and a half movie. I did watch this movie with somebody, and I have to give her a shout out and say that she felt that Mackenzie Lee was done dirty in this movie. She
Who's
felt
Mackenzie Lee?
she played Susan.
Oh, yeah, the one I said I doesn't do anything.
She felt that the wardrobe department did her dirty in this
Oh.
movie, and that the turtleneck sweater was probably the least flattering thing she's ever seen
She was
on a
so
female lead.
unattractive. I'm like, why does he want to be hanging? She does not look attractive to me in any way.
Well, what, she was like the only woman in town his age, maybe? That's
Yeah,
what
I
it
think that
seemed
was
like.
it.
But yeah, I'm coming at this as a big fan of the novel and of the original Tobe Hooper adaptation of the novel. This one was just a big letdown for me. I gave this a 2 out of 5. That this was not very good.
I think you liked it better than me. I gave it a 1.5 if I
Okay.
logged it. Maybe I've forgotten to log it. Knowing me, sometimes I forget.
Fair enough.
Now you got me to look it up. Thanks, Doug.
No problem. Well, now that'll bring us to The Substance, directed by Coralie Farragut, starring Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and Dennis Quaid. I can start off with this. I absolutely love this movie. Coralie Farragut, she has now directed two feature films. I loved both of them. They are both in horror genres that I tend to shy away from, just not my favorite. Her first film, Revenge, is in the rape revenge subgenre of horror. I hate that subgenre, but that movie was amazing. This is a body horror film. Normally, I tend to stay away from body horror unless it's by one of the Cronenbergs. This movie, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. So yeah, Coralie Farragut, she is a director. I will watch anything she puts out now. Highly recommend her work. Now, as for this specific movie,
Oh, we're forgetting there. Sorry, I was
yes.
having a little
No, that's
siesta while
fine.
you were talking about random things.
It wasn't random. It all dealt with the director.
Okay.
While this is a body horror and it does go gross at times with the blood and the pus and whatever, the absolute grossest thing in this movie was Dennis Quaid eating shrimp. The sound design on that just crawled right up my spine. I had a visceral reaction to that while seeing it in the theater. Aside from that, I think Demi Moore was absolutely amazing in this movie. I think this is a big comeback film for her. I totally bought her as an aging star who wants to recapture her youth, and would go into The Substance. Margaret Qualley, I don't think I've seen her this good before. She just ate up the role of Sue in just a way I haven't seen her do before. This movie was fantastic. Yes, there is the sexualization of the female bodies to begin with. It's a very sexual film to start off with. They're fitness instructors on TV, so there's all the leering at the female form in, both Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley. However, the film takes a turn. I think once the scene comes about, and if you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about, where the motorcycle outfit gets unzipped in the back and the insides spill out all over the floor, I think that is when the sexualization stops. I think from then on, it is pure body horror. There is the wound in Demi Moore's spine where her fluids are just getting extracted to keep Margaret Qualley young and vivacious. And that's also having an effect on Demi Moore character. Her character's body is aging and falling apart, but she still doesn't want to give up the other half of her life. This movie just says a lot about Hollywood and how it does. It uses up actresses. It just sucks them dry until the next hot young thing comes along. But gross old men like Dennis Quaid can still be around making money while using the young women. I think this movie was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. Yeah, this will be on one of my year-end lists, I think.
Oh, I knew that was coming. No doubt about it. As usual, I have no idea what I'm getting into. This one, I gotta say, for the first hour, I was pretty solid into it. Dennis Quaid got to the point, I found him so obnoxious. I literally wanted to reach into the screen and slap him numerous times. He was such a jackass. So great job, Dennis Quaid. I wanted to give him that. You did your job. You annoyed the complete F out of me. I gotta agree with you. Margaret Qualley came across, blew me away how good an actress she's become. And Demi Moore, I've never had an issue with. I don't think she's really had a meaty part like this in a while. And I think she
Not
does
for
a
a long time.
fabulous job and maybe Oscar contention coming up for this. I was fully willing to say that. I think this film really does its set design well. Like they really make her apartment feel lonely.
Yes.
When she goes home, like it, she's got this massive place and nobody wants to be there. And Margaret Qualley's got the exact opposite thing when she's moving. Do you know what I'm
Yes.
saying? Like, I find that. But I, when the film really started to gel for me was that scene when Qualley beats the shit out of Demi Moore. Holy
Okay.
crap. I was like, what the hell? I love that scene. I'm like, well, this is my kind of movie now, because you know me, I love that kind of stuff. So I was into that stuff. Now, the last half an hour was intense for me.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is, I can't say I didn't like it, but it might have been a little too much for me, if that
Okay.
makes sense. I understand where she was going for. I think it works in the sense I can't take it away from the film. It works for the film. I don't know if it worked for me in the sense I think I was just too grossed out.
Okay.
Like, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I obviously understand what's going on, but I think it works for the film. And then when she puts that face on, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I was like, this is bizarre.
And they
And then
just
I
let
was
her in.
thinking to myself, remember the Dennis Quaid scene? He's just over the top. So I gotta let that go. And just understand in this universe, you can put a stupid face on, you're good to go. But the end of the film, when she just starts popping everywhere, I was like, oh my God, this is just a mess. So brilliant, brilliant film, I want to say in the end. I did make it through. It didn't gross me out too bad, which it's hard to gross me out, but I gotta give her credit. I think she did it. So yeah, this
Nice.
is definitely recommend for me. And might be on my list too, but I'm, you know me, I'm fussy.
Yes, I do know
So
that.
we know that. So yeah, I would recommend this film. I'm just saying it's not for everybody.
Okay.
I can see people walking out during this film, especially the last half an hour.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, body horror in general, it's not for everybody. You're either for it or against it, really. I
See, I
mean,
don't know what I am. You know me. I never don't read anything, so I just watch things. So everything's a big surprise to me.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a surprise who's in the film. I will
Fair.
tell you, if he puts movies on the list, people, I may not even read who's in them.
That is true. Yes.
And I just like, oh, they're in it. Okay.
So our next movie would be Oddity, directed by Damien McCarthy, starring Carolyn Bracken, Gwynlin Lee, and Tog Murphy.
Oh my God. I could have killed you for this one.
Oh, really?
This was so friggin' messed up. I just will like I was like, what? Talk about me questioning what is going on so many times in this film.
Okay.
I love the look of the film. I love the actors in the film. I only have one major issue. I needed a little bit more. I don't know what I'm looking for. Something to stabilize scenes so I understood a little bit more what was going on. Because I found it
Okay.
jumped a lot and I was getting confused on the jumps because I didn't know who some of the characters were. And then when I
Okay.
figured out who the characters were, I was okay. But I found in the beginning, like, who is that? What? I needed a little bit more to tell me who some people were.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, especially all the dudes in the movie.
And like, who are you? Who, what, where did they come from? Wait,
A
are
lot
we
of them have like,
flashbacking again?
except for the guy with the weird eye,
Yes, I knew
and
who
the
he
long
was.
hair, all the
Yes.
other men had like short brown hair and they
I
all
was
looked kind of
so
alike.
confused of what
Yes.
was going on all the time. And then it starts. I don't know if the film ever really comes together for me. I like a lot of the, like, I love the setting. I think it's a beautiful setting. Whatever filter they're using on that camera is phenomenal. And I really feel it feels like a very old film, even though it's not. I just, like I said, I need more establishing shots, maybe a little more establishing dialogue, just to explain to me the little things. And we get to the end of the film, I was kind of like, okay, I really don't care at this point. I just thought it was just getting weirder and weirder as this film went on. I'm like, I think, oh, I picked this because it's called The Oddity just to annoy me. Because this thing is just bizarre on so many levels. I mean, they do set it up for a sequel. Yes, absolutely, they do at the end. But I was kind of like, I got too confused, is what I'm trying to say. Me trying to figure out who was who. So I don't feel I was ever got myself invested in the film because of that. So how did you feel? Am I wrong here?
See, I kind of liked it.
Okay, that's fair.
I like you said, I love the atmosphere of this movie.
Oh, it was
I think
beautiful.
the way it was shot, just the atmosphere was amazing. I think the image of the killer in that black raincoat and insane looking mask was just terrifying. And the use of a jump cut. There's one specific jump cut that I think was absolutely fantastic. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. The killer is looking into the tent, and then there's a jump cut, and I think that was brilliant. I think Carolyn Bracken gave a hell of a performance as the two twins. I think she was absolutely brilliant. I do get where you're coming from. There was a lot of things that were odd, just kind of for oddity's sake. The giant wooden golem figure sitting at the breakfast slash dinner table. It was a great visual. Didn't really make much sense. I did love the very last shot, though. Trying not to spoil this one, because it's not Strange Darling. But the ultimate killer, I guess, is revealed. And there is a specter we haven't seen before slowly creeping up on him. And I thought that was a really nice visual at the end.
I thought the best visual was at the beginning of the film when the guy is at the door.
Okay, yes.
That was my favorite scene, but I really felt the film diverted from that later.
Oh no,
Like,
I
I
mean
wanted more of that.
my absolute favorite visual in this movie was the jump cut with the tent.
I know what you're talking about. Mine was there. I love him talking at the door. I'm like, this is creepy as hell.
Yes. I think I just liked this one a little more than you.
Oh, absolutely, you did.
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
And I gave
Not
it a
quite
two
in four, but
because I
I
was
did
too
like this
confused.
one. Fair. That's all right.
I think it's a good film. I think I needed somebody to explain things to me. It was just gay and confusing. Maybe because I watched it in two halves. May I be honest about that? Just because I got busy, and I'm like, I gotta finish this. I'm just too confused. You know,
That
I
makes
was getting
sense.
lost.
I think there were things in there just maybe to pad out timing, like the vial of blood, the tooth or whatever that was implanted
In
into the
the
wooden golem.
head, put that stuff back.
That scene I felt wasn't necessarily
It made
needed,
no sense
but
to me. Why is this here?
I think it's probably because that's how she could control the golem. Like, I think that
Maybe.
was her blood and tooth or whatever was actually in it. I think that's probably the supernatural explanation of it, but they don't come right out and say it in the film. All right, are you ready to take a trip back to the 90s
No.
with Satanic Panic? It's actually a movie from 2019, but takes place in the 90s. Directed by Chelsea Stardust, starring Haley Griffith, Rebecca Romijn, Arden Marin, Jordan Ladd and Jerry O'Connell in a brief cameo in this film. I think it's my turn to go first with this one. Just wild tone changes in this movie. When it started off, I thought it was going to be this goofy comedy about, the satanic panic. The goofiness kind of stays around a bit, but the violence and the horror just keeps amping up and up throughout the movie. So yeah, just wild changes in tone. There's actually an attempted rape scene in this movie with the rapist yelling, "I'm a feminist, I'm doing this to save you," which he actually was in the context of the movie. He did believe he was doing the right thing, but that is probably more frightening than anything else in this film, is that there is a rapist out there who does literally think they are doing the right thing by raping. Yeah, I just not sure how I felt about this movie. It does have absolutely wild changes throughout it. I will say I didn't love all the comedy and I didn't love all the gore. It was just kind of right down the middle for me. I think I gave this like 2.5. It was right down the middle for me.
Stop lying to our fans. You gave it a 3.
I did?
Yes.
Okay. Then I gave
Yeah.
then I was feeling generous when I rated it on Letterboxd.
Let me help you. You put a Jerry O'Connell film on here, I'm gonna hate it.
Okay, that's fair. That I last time we discussed a Mark Wahlberg film, and you know how I feel about Mark Wahlberg, so
Now you know how I feel about Jerry. As soon as I saw him, like,
okay.
he asked me one of the worst Canadian actors of all times. He's a pompous ass. He pisses me off whatever show he's on, the talk I think he's on.
Okay.
And he talks about nonsense. I'm like, shut up. Period. I don't want to hear you speak. You're dumb. You think you're all this hot crap. You've never made a good film in your life.
Well, let Stand By Me.
Jerry O'Connell's in Stand By Me.
Yeah, he was. I'm pretty sure. You talk, I'll look it up.
It's all right. Let's go back to the Titanic panic. So I'm sitting there going, oh crap. If he's in it, that means that other master has been, his wife is in it, Rebecca Romijn. Oh God. This can't get worse acting. Oh, but it does.
And
The
just to
acting
confirm,
gets worse. Yes.
Jerry O'Connell's first known for in IMDb is Stand By Me.
No, he must not be in it long.
He was the fat kid.
I don't remember. Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm sitting there watching this and I'm just like, I really hate this movie. I'm never gonna, I just, and then the annoying friends that are all in the satanic thing and the woman, Rebecca Romijn, is trying to yell at them. I'm like, oh, just stop. And then they find the daughter and I'm like, I still don't care. Why didn't you give her a tip? Like, this whole movie is because she didn't get a tip.
Yep.
Terrible. Could not get into this ever. I thought the kills were dumb. I thought the bunny rabbit idea was dumb. I tried hard. The only person I liked in this film was the woman that brought the pizzas.
Okay.
She I enjoyed. I go, this is just one of these dumb horror films that I hate. Doug knows I hate them, so he put this on the list to torture me. It's all I'm thinking.
I put it on the list because I thought it would actually be more of a comedy and actually be funny.
It
I was
wasn't
wrong in
funny.
that. I
It's
will
like
admit
watching a
my wrong.
Denise Richards movie and thinking it's going to be funny.
You didn't think Wild Things was funny?
That was a good movie. I saw all three of them,
Okay.
four of them. I've seen every one of them.
I didn't know there were multiples. I've
Oh,
only
of
seen the
course there
first.
is. There, of
Okay.
course. You know, if it's a franchise, I will watch them all.
Okay.
My problem with this film, I just couldn't get into it. I mean, it's just so dumb to me.
That's fair.
And it just continues to be get dumber as I'm watching it. And I'm like, can we just set this house on fire and move on? The only scene I had redemption was the very end when she shows up And if cars or scooters gonna magically start now, she gets back and the guy's there. She's like, "Where's my bag?" She takes her $5 and disappears. I'm like, you know what? That's the scene that made the most sense in this whole movie, was the beginning scene and the end scene. That middle is just a mess of a film to me.
Yes.
Stop putting these bad comedies on. If Jerry O'Connell's, I don't want to see it.
Okay, fair. Now I know.
No, I don't
As
care.
long
You
as
put
you
it on
promise
there.
not to put any more Mark Wahlberg movies
Oh,
on.
that's not gonna be. Come on, I just saw a Transformer. Like, come on, the guy saw a Transformer. What do you want to take that away from him?
Yes, I do.
I
I
think
want to
this is
take
Hollywood D-list material. These are people that, you know, I have a $5 billion budget. You guys need something to do for the weekend film? Like,
Okay.
this is absolute garbage. This is stuff that I get sent to a review and do interviews about.
Okay.
This is an indie with big name actors in it. It's just not good.
That is
That's all
fair.
I'm saying. Please don't send these to me anymore.
Okay.
You're
Well,
still
our
getting
next.
Mark Wahlberg films, though.
Well, in that case, you're gonna get Jerry O'Connell. He's on the
Great.
next list.
Fine.
our next film,
One and a half, by the
Ginger
way.
Snaps.
Oh,
Okay.
yay, something I like.
Yes, Ginger Snaps, directed by John Fawcett, starring Catherine Isabel and Emily Perkins.
Let me tell you, this is a film I've been meaning to watch since it came out. I read about it, and just every year on the horror list, I'm like, I gotta put Ginger Snaps. I'll put it on next year. So I said, that's it. I'm gonna watch Ginger Snaps this year. I've always wanted to see this film. Let's see what all the hype's about. You know what? I was very happy with Ginger Snaps. I
Nice.
think this was a nice installment in the werewolf genre, which I quite enjoy. I have a couple of small issues, but these are more plot points, people. So if you haven't seen Ginger Snaps, take it out. The mom warns them, please do not go outside. The kids don't listen. They go outside, something happens. Okay. But everything else works for me. I figured this has got to be the cheapest werewolf movie I've ever seen. Shot on no money. You can tell they have no cash. But it works. They use what they have wisely. They let the characters build and they let it go up. That's why I liked it. And I liked how I didn't realize one of the main characters was called Ginger. So it's Ginger Snaps, is what I got it. I thought it was like gingerbread or something. That's what I like. I like the build on this film immensely. I think it builds fantastically up until the end.
Yes.
I like the whole sex thing works perfect for me. I like how the evolve of the creature works for me. Everything in this film works for me. I friggin' loved it. I just wish it had more money.
Yes.
I really think the biggest problem with this, it doesn't have enough money. But maybe that would have taken away from the very cliqueness of it and the very indie feel I get from this film.
Yes.
So I gave it a 3 or 3.5, I can't remember. But I
Okay.
really love Ginger Snaps. I have two more to watch in the franchise, and I'm excited to watch them now.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
sorry. I want to say the chemistry between the two leads, fantastic. Totally
Yes.
believe they were sisters. The whole time in this film, I thought everybody existed in this world, and they were all real. Unlike that crap you made me watch with Jerry O'Connell, that all those people didn't exist in that world, except for the pizza delivery person.
Okay. Yeah, this was a movie that I saw when it first came out because I like werewolf movies.
Oh, look at Doug. He's all up to date.
I haven't seen the sequels, so I've only
You know
seen
I
the
will. By
original.
next time we talk, I'll probably have them done.
Yes. Oh, I know number two, I think, has Tatiana Maslany in it. I think that was her feature debut,
Well, she
so
is Canadian, so.
yes. Yeah, this movie, it kind of reminded me of a Swamp Thing issue written by Alan Moore about a female werewolf that was a metaphor on menstruation. I think that metaphor works pretty well. And I think it also works well in this movie as a metaphor for a woman coming of age or a girl becoming a woman. I like the imagery here. Catherine Isabella was amazing as Ginger, you believe the changes she was going through. And I completely forgot Mimi Rogers was in this movie as their mom. I loved her as the mom, that she was just willing to really do anything for her daughters. She finds a dead body, and is willing to cover it up for her girls. I mean,
I thought
she
that was a
is.
great scene. I did not expect that to happen in any way, how that scene presented itself. I like that. Something different. Something I wouldn't have guessed.
She was all about protecting her daughters, and I love that. I mean, I don't really have much to add to what you said. I mean, this is a really good movie. I think werewolfism or lycanthropy used as a metaphor for, puberty is, it's smart. It's how it should be used. It worked for Teen Wolf. Why can't it work for Canadian women coming of age?
Just so you know, Teen Wolf has a sequel too.
I've seen that.
Oh,
I've seen Teen Wolf 2.
I've seen that too.
TOO.
So, people, I'm giving Ginger Snaps a full recommend.
Yes. Which will bring us to our next film, 1995's Mute Witness, directed by Anthony Waller, starring Marina Zudina, Faye Ripley, Evan Richards, and Igor Volkov. This was one of my picks. I don't know if you have ever heard of this movie before or not. This one had it made the press because it is Alec Guinness's last movie. It actually came out a couple years after he died, but he had already filmed his cameo for this film. So that's what I knew about it when it first came out on video. I really like this movie. I think it's very clever. I think it's shot very well. Marina Zudina, who is not mute in real life, but I think she plays it very well here. I love that you can't really trust any of the characters. You want to trust her sister and brother-in-law, and it turns out you can, but they're kind of bumbling. The one character that I really liked that you didn't know if you could trust or not was the undercover cop. I love the way that was portrayed in this movie, and that it wasn't, a serial killer or anything like that. It was just business. They were just making these snuff films, and you just got to clean up afterwards after you do it. They didn't get pleasure out of it. It was for money. I really liked it. It's low budget, but high on atmosphere, and the acting was pretty good. I liked it.
I got a totally on board. Never heard of this film. And I kind of got into it as it goes. I kind of like their location. It was amazing. The amount of space they had to film. And I'm sure the whole thing is filmed in that one space, but I don't care. It moves so well, this film.
Yes.
I think one of my favorite scenes is when they break into her apartment. A little
Okay.
bungling, but it worked for me. I'm like, this character works. The mute witness works. I really felt she was a mute. I thought she did a great job. I liked everything about this film. It was just fun.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is kind of enjoyable. Is it a great film? No, I would not give it a great film, but it's fun to watch. It was a great popcorn thriller, I would say. It's there's
Yes.
nothing here that's gonna
Yes.
blow you away, but the story works for what it wants. I like the guy downstairs. He was kind of funny.
Oh yeah, they told him to keep it down, banging
I
on
like
the
that. And you know what? Just parts of this I liked. I did have one minor nitpick. The very end of the film, the last shot, when something happens and somebody jumps, I was kind of like, not a chance. Not a chance that could happen. Sorry, gone. Gone. And that was really my only issue with the film, was that one scene. I did find it, like I said, a little bungling at times. I thought the bad guys were a little too dumb for me a couple times.
I
But
can see
I
that.
understood where they were going with it. You gotta kind of, it's a light horror comedy. You know what I
And the
mean?
fact that this was also one of those films that such a low budget, it was shot literally over years. Like
Oh.
that's why it came out so long after Alec Guinness passed, because it wasn't done filming. So it was
Oh.
like one of those films where grabbing weekends here and there to complete filming the film.
Sounds like one of our producer films.
Yes.
Like his weekend shoots. Okay. I Mute Witness definitely recommend.
Yes, I gave it a 4 out of 5 here.
I gave it a 3.
Okay. Next, we have Night Warning, aka Butcher, Baker, Nightmare Maker. A 1981 film directed by William Asher, starring Jimmy McNichol, Susan Tyrell, Bo Svenson, Julia Duffy, and in a blink and you'll miss it, Bill Paxton is in there for a scene.
I saw that.
Yes.
So my film or yours? Mine,
Yes,
I think.
I think you are up first here.
Okay, let's start this off. I love slashers. As I've always stated, I do like it. So I punched in on my computer. Slashers you've never seen. This one pops up. I'm like, okay, add to the list. I'm sitting there reading the credits. I'm like, Julia Duffy's in this? Oh, this movie I might actually like. Doug, I think I fell in love with this movie. I
Really?
freaking love this movie.
Okay.
It's so dumb at times, it works for me. I got the woman that plays the aunt
Aunt Cheryl?
is nuts. She does such a good job
Yes.
portraying to me. She is completely batshit nuts. The whole film and that whole gay angle was just bizarre. I'm like, you could tell this film is an 80s film or 70s.
81, it came out.
81. You can tell that. I'm like, where are they going with this? But in 81, you could do that. So things like that. But this is not what made me love this film. Simon's childhood crush is Julia Duffy.
Oh,
I
really?
love Julia Duffy. Still to this day, still
Okay.
in love Julia Duffy. When we got to see Julia Duffy topless, I was in. The movie wins at that point. Two scenes of Julia Duffy. I'm like, you guys win. I
Letterboxd,
am
five out
down
of
in the
five.
field. I do not need to watch another horror film for the rest of my life. That made my day. I love the end of this film. I thought it falls in the slasher genre just for that reason. Is it over the top acting at the end? 100%. But you know what? I kind of liked it. It had a basic story. It did all the beats it was supposed to do. There were no surprises. And that was okay with me because Julia Duffy was topless. And that's all I cared about by the end of this film. I was
Fair.
happy. Not
All
saying
right
the
then.
movie's good, but I did enjoy it. So I gave it a 3 because this is what I like. I love
Okay.
slashers. We know this is my pick, people. I'm being honest here. This made my day.
Okay.
Now, if you tell me it's the worst pile of crap you've ever seen, I will accept that because I would
Okay.
understand where you're coming from.
I wouldn't say it was the worst pile of crap. The opening scene, I loved the opening car
Oh, the
crash
opening scene
scene.
was great.
The car, like that car crash scene, it felt like something out of the Final Destination films. He kept, narrowly avoiding catastrophe until he couldn't anymore.
I think he knew it was coming, though.
Oh yeah, I mean it. That was shot really well, so I got to give that this movie credit for that opening car crash. I personally could not get over how homophobic this movie was.
Oh, it is insanely
It
homophobic. I'm
is
backing up.
absolutely 100% homophobic.
Yep.
And I think we're still supposed to cheer on Bo Svenson as the detective
No,
in
not
his
a chance.
homophobic rants.
Not nowadays, we can't.
No. I mean, it kind of kept all the crazy killing until the very end of the movie.
Absolutely.
a constant stream of killings that I've come to expect from slashers. I will be honest, I was not as enamored with this movie as you. I think I gave
Oh,
this one
that's
like a
fine.
1.5.
Which is totally fine with me. I get where you're coming from. But being a huge slasher fan, it has everything I needed here and Julia
Okay.
Duffy. As long as
Fair.
Julia Duffy's there, I just, that gay angle was so bizarre. Like,
Yes, it
what
just
is going on?
it rubbed me such the wrong, especially after coming to this movie after the last episode where we discussed All of Us Strangers and The
Yes.
People's Joker, two very out and proud movies, to come and watch this movie that was so homophobic. It just it was whiplash to me.
I'm with you. We're warning people about that, but you know what?
Yes.
I told you this is my favorite genre.
Okay.
So you know I'm gonna like it.
That is fair.
It has to be, it's a little basic. I agree with you. There's nothing new in this genre. It's got some nice couple good shots at the beginning. I like the first kill a lot. I thought that was kind of weird.
Although where she kills the handyman and set
Yes.
and yeah, okay.
For no reason.
No.
Just sort of knocks him off, like, okay. I know, I just think it's fun.
Okay.
But I accept you hating it. I say that homophobic, they kept trying to hammer that. I'm like,
Yeah.
guys,
Yeah, they
no.
just kept going
It
after it.
is so weird because I think it, I'm like, is this acceptable in 81? I guess it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, but this is obviously VHS trash by then. Like, it's going right to video stores. So for little Simon, that when he was 10, he was watching this. So, nope.
All right. Well, now we're going on to actually what many people consider a classic of the horror genre. It is Don't Look Now from 1973, directed by Nicholas Roeg, starring Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie. I guess it's my turn to go first here. I will be honest, it's been about a year since I've seen this movie, so it's not 100% fresh in my mind, but I will say I understand why this movie is a classic. It is shot just so beautifully. I know there are rumors, or were rumors going around, that Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland actually had sex and Nicholas Roeg filmed them. I never bought that. It never felt that way to me when watching it. Maybe when I was a horny teenager and I rented it from the video store looking for that, I was like, yeah, but no, even back then, I didn't buy into that aspect of the story. I think it's just a 70s film that was a little more lenient in the way it shot sexuality back in those days. But for me, the movie isn't really about sex. It's a meditation on grief and loss and how the mother and the father go about treating their grief and loss differently. My one question is, I wonder if the image of the troll killer in the girl's red slicker, if that affected or inspired David Cronenberg in any way for his little killer mutant things in The Brood. I wonder if that was any inspiration to Cronenberg. I don't know. Just something that crossed my mind.
I got weird Omen vibes off this film, a lot of it. I'm like, am I watching
Okay.
Omen? All those shots felt like Omen stole them right out of here.
Yeah, I could see, especially in Venice
Yes.
with that architecture.
I'm
Yeah.
like, this feels like the Omen. I think this film is three quarters of an excellent film. The ending I hate so much. I think it's so dumb. And annoyed the crap out of me. I was on board with Everything. I like the friend she meet. They could see the little girl, the median. I thought that was good. I bought Julie Christie the whole way. I thought the minister or whatever he was, the priest, was a pain in the ass, but I bought that. I thought it was something to do with him, to be honest with you. I thought that's where it was going. And
Okay.
it doesn't. But I did not see the end of this coming in any way. I don't think we could have.
No, probably not.
So, yeah, I'm on board. I love the shot selection. I love the cinematography. I think it looks beautiful. I love the scene when he almost takes a header. I thought that scene was very well shot. Pacing was good. Like I said, I got to the end. I'm like, really? That's the end? You set me up for 2 hours and that's what you're giving me? I thought I was robbed by the end. The end annoyed me to no end. I didn't want this ending. I don't know what ending I wanted, but it wasn't this. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was a big, long nothing for this.
Okay. I'm not
That's where
sure I'd
my
go that
issue
far.
lies with this. I was pissed off when I watched the ending. I was absolutely angry. I mean, everything else about the film I love. I love the acting. I like the look. I thought it was fun. I love Donald Sutherland. I love Julie Christie. I'm just like, this film just pissed me off at the end. Two out
A
of five.
two, really?
I'm so pissed at that ending.
Oh wow, okay.
I
I
didn't,
mean,
we didn't even pass it because I'm so mad about the ending.
wow, that is very different from my score. I'm like in the
See,
4.55
there we go.
area.
Well, hold
I think
on.
it's, you know.
I'm gonna go off tangent for 2 seconds here. Just two, I promise. People, I always go off tangent, usually at the regular show, which you guys can find every couple weeks when I get it done. I watched a film called A Lonely Place, and I'm liking it. Humphrey Bogart, murder mystery. And Doug gives it a 4.5.
Yes, I like
Simon, 2.5. I just want to
that one.
state that's where me and Doug differ a lot. And that's all I'm stating. See, I'm a little harsher than you are, but I give things more love sometimes than you do. But usually on the thing, I'm the harshest critic you know. Yeah, but I'm honest about my feelings. You got to
See,
impress me.
in that, I wonder if you would like the novel In a Lonely Place better.
Maybe. I don't know. I just...
We're not discussing that movie, but I,
Nope.
so
I just
I'll
wanted to
keep it to
state
myself
how
then.
our scoring works. But if Simon gives the movie a 3 and above, it's worth watching, though.
That is true. That is, you are a Grinch with your stars.
I am very Grinch, except for Haunter Family Christmas. There's 5 out of 5, all three of them.
Well, yeah, because they're amazing.
They're amazing because the producer produced them
Yes,
and
and
directed
directed them.
them. He's very
Yes.
good.
He's a very taskmastery director, but
But
you
it's
know,
not about horror
that's
people, so we can't talk
yes.
about those till Christmas.
Right. All right, so now we're on to our last movie of the horror podcast, The Innocents from 1961, directed by Jack Clayton, starring Deborah Kerr, Peter Wingard, Megs Jenkins, and Michael Redgrave.
Yep, it was in there for like 30 seconds.
Yes. But take it away, Simon.
Oh, again, I like to pick my films from all different years and things. I had a lot of problems with this film. I couldn't never really get into it. I like the kids. I thought the kids were very good at what they did, but I just never bought what was going on. You know, like early on, you start, so then she starts seeing things, and then she starts figuring it out. And I'm like, I don't buy this. I don't buy any of this. I think it's really dumb, to be honest with you. And the end I thought was just a complete cop out. I'm just like, really? That's the end we're going with? Really? That is terrible. They set me up for this big thing. She does. They work hard to set you up. That this kid is the second coming of the Antichrist. And I get to the end, and it's like, oh, it's all. I'm like, really? You spend an hour and 40 minutes setting me up for that? Absolutely the thing. I just couldn't buy most of this film. I like our scenes of it, I will say I thought were good.
Okay.
I thought the acting was solidly okay. But I thought that housekeeper was beyond wishy-washy.
Okay.
Like, I don't think she knew what was going on. She just pretended everything was good. And then, no, it's not. Oh, you tell me it's not good. Well, then it must be not good. I'm like, really? Can you make a decision, please? Which side are you on? And I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it was the kids. Maybe it was the script writing. I wish we took this film and put it in the setting of Don't Look Now. I think it would have worked better for me. I mean, I know they're trying to isolate everybody and this and that. They try to explain the isolation. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't buy any of this film in any way. I just
Wow,
thought it was
okay.
kind of dull.
Okay. Again, we're coming at this from two
Oh,
completely
here we go.
different perspectives. Yeah, I had to double check. Yeah, this is, based on turning of the screw or turn of the screw, the Henry Thomas story,
Never read
screenplay
it.
by Truman Capote,
This is by Truman Capote, and I just trashed it.
Truman Capote wrote the
Oh,
screenplay for
sorry,
this movie
Truman.
that you just trashed.
Sorry.
I mean, Turn of the Screw is not my favorite ghost story. From the same time period, my favorite horror film is The Haunting, the Robert Wise film of The Haunting of Hill House. But yeah, there are things that I love about this movie. I mean, the screenplay for one, Truman Capote, I think, does know a thing or two about writing. One of the things that I don't think you mentioned was the cinematography. I absolutely thought this movie was shot gorgeously. I think,
Really?
yes, I
And
think
I
there
have
were.
the exact opposite opinion. I was just bored.
I think the shots of like the pond where you're
Oh,
not
the pond
sure,
scene's great. I like the pond.
are you seeing a woman out there in the pond? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I think that was shot amazingly. Yeah, I think the acting was good across the board. I think the kids were good. Yeah, I gave this one a 4 out of 5, so I'm like the opposite of you on this one.
That is bizarre that we watched the same film and came away told. So you like the ending?
Yeah, I mean, I that's the as far as I remember the ending of Turn of the Screw. I mean,
Okay, well, I never read the story, so I have
okay.
no idea.
Yeah, I thought it was a good adaptation with, solid acting. I thought the directing was good. I like the cinematography. I think there was actually a prequel movie to this made to this starring Marlon Brando that I'm gonna have to hunt down and watch in the coming months
Feel free.
just 'cause I'm curious about it.
You'll put it on the list and I'll have to watch it. But until then, I don't.
It's actually the story of the housekeeper and
Oh, the
the
one they talk
man.
about.
Yeah, it's that story, but in a movie. So,
Okay. Well, Doug, where can people find you on Letterboxd?
what am I? I think I'm just Doug Hayner on
You are Doug
Letterboxd.
Hayner. I'm
Yes.
Extra Features PC, I think. And people, please rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get this stuff. And you can email us at extrafeatures@gmail.com. And yes, I made it through another horror special, quite surprisingly.
Yes. And if you have any opinions about either of us, email them extrafeatures@gmail.com. Simon will read them.
No, I
And if you,
won't.
yeah. Well, put in the title, Doug is an idiot, and then
Oh,
Simon will
well, why
read
did I
it.
resent read all
He will
those?
read it and then tell me everything that you said about me. So go ahead and do that, and I would love to hear it too.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great day. Oh, happy Halloween. Bye-bye.
Yes, happy Halloween.